You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello and welcome to The Breakfast Table.
How's it going? It's Ferris.
My name's Alex.
And I'm your host, Brad. And today we have gathered here because we are going to be talking about the greatest kind of video games. Ports, remasters, remakes, recollections.
Remistakes.
Yeah. And everything that pretty much has been created and then brought new life onto a new system or a new platform of some kind. Because that is becoming a trend now in just remaking games and bringing them back from the dead.
It was something that people enjoyed on PS3 and 360, you know, like porting and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Because, like, you really think of it as, like, a game would be exclusive to one. Like, let's say, like, a PS3 title and then it gets ported over to Xbox or something like that. It's like, oh, yeah, I get to play this game because I only own this system. Or, like, they will do something where it goes from PS2 to PS3, like, in collections, like Sly Cooper and Ratchet & Clank and stuff like that. And then you get the remasters where they're HD, where it's the same game you played, but it might be in 60 frames and it looks pretty, but still blocky.
Yeah, so. Sony, like you said, Sony kind of started that in the PS3 era. That's when we started getting them, like, all the time. I think it started with, like, the Devil May Cry collection. We got the God of War. We got the God of War Origins collection and then the God of War collection. And then, yeah, like you said, Sly, Ratchet and Clank.
Jack and Daxter, Splinter Cell.
Like, that was kind of, like, the like where it all started. Like, it was a few of them, and then people ate these up too. Like, I think the first one was Devil May Cry. I can't remember which one it was, but it sold a lot, and that's when they're like, oh, okay, well, now we're just gonna start re-releasing these games. And then since then, we just, it's, like I said, it's been like almost nonstop.
Yeah, it just, like, stemming off of the idea of PlayStation starting it, it's kind of Sony's fault in general.
Well, when it comes to those kinds of games, because the problem with those collections is they didn't change the games at all. They pretty much went, hey, what if we just put three of these games on one disc and put it on the new system? And somebody else in the office was like, yeah, I can do that right now. Copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. Okay, go ahead and print it.
Yeah, it's just... It kind of stems from PlayStation, especially with the PS3, getting rid of the idea of backwards compatibility, which they started so strong with, and then it got to the point where they, you know, got rid of it, and then that's when we started seeing those titles that people may have sought after or whatnot, or maybe were harder to find when they were trying to play them on their PS2s or PS3s, and then they brought them over to collections like Sly Cooper and Ratchet and Clank and stuff like that. It's nice when collections and ports and stuff like that are done right, but it's a problem when you make some of those digital codes. Like, example, I'm a big Metal Gear fan, and it's kind of upsetting that the Big Boss Legacy Collection, which is almost all of the Metal Gears onto one disc, you can't play Metal Gear Solid 1 because it's a download code. So unless you get a brand new sealed copy, which is going to cost you a lot of money, you're not playing Metal Gear Solid 1. You have to pay another $20 on top of whatever you're doing. So,
and sometimes those ports don't even go over correctly.
No.
Like, if you ever played the Ratchet and Clank Collection, it is horrible.
I never got that.
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank Future Tools of Destruction is, I think, the worst one in the series.
Really?
Because that was the first one, and they were like, oh, man, look at all these pixels. We really don't know what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just a lot going on all at once. So I think some of the collections are done really well. It's just that God of War. Oh, my God. It's just because there's the Origins Collection, which is the PSP games, and then you have the God of War Collection, which gives you 1, 2, and 3, and then there's an Omega Collection that gives you all of them, but Chains of Olympus and the PSP ones are now digital codes, and it's just like, why? Why are you doing this?
Yeah, and, like, this also came around the time when, like, because during, like, the very first part of their, the PS3 generation, Xbox was doing way much better than they were, and I think Sony's mindset was that, you know, the PS2 era, they're the kings during the PS2 era, and a lot of these, you know, people that were playing the console were playing games like Devil May Cry and, you know, Ratchet. They had those games that people play at the PlayStation. So, like, hey, let's see if we can get these games that people loved and allow them to play it on the PS3. You know, back after they basically said, no, we're not going to do backwards compatibility anymore. And then also, you know, it gets them more money for the developers. And we also saw these come out. Like, when they came out, they were about to announce the next title. Because I remember correctly, it was either in the Sly Collection or something else, when you beat all three of them and get, like, the Platinum Trophy, mm-hmm. it unlocked, like, a sneak preview for Sly Cooper 4.
Yeah, that was Sly Collection.
Yeah. The only one that didn't happen for was Jak and Daxter, which sucks. But I think Ratchet & Clank had it. Sly Cooper had it. I even think one of them teased, like, right before when God of War Ascension came out, the Splinter Cell Blacklist. Like, every time there's, like, a re-release or a remaster, it's like, are they about to announce something? And it usually is. Usually when they re-release something, they're about to make some announcement.
Right. Like, especially in the idea that, you know, speaking of, like, games that kind of had sneak previews and, like, sneak events, you know, in 17, they made it a big point to release all of the Kingdom Hearts onto one console. So
in three different collections.
Well, no. One collection. Oh, we're two collections.
Two collections? Well, oh, yeah, that's
because,
right, yeah.
Because, they did 1.5, which gave you three games, or two games and a movie, and then they gave you 2.5, which is two games and a movie, on the PS3, and then they collided those into one collection on the PS4, and then they pushed the newer game, which gave you a little tidbit of what Kingdom Hearts 3 will play like with 0.2 Fragmentary Passage, and then the DS game that nobody cared about, all together on one system, and that kind of, like, piqued a lot of people's interest. It was like, huh. I think Kingdom Hearts is happening very soon because they're trying to make it really easy to play these games, you know. So, like, sparking to that idea, yeah, like, a lot of times when you see those collections, you start thinking, there's probably a game on the horizon. It's very close. Let's see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, they're trying to make people, hey, remember this game. This mm-hmm. is a game. Remember this one?
Yeah. Or in some people's gripes, a lot of times you'll see games that get ported over to systems that were from previous generations that sometimes are maybe not warranted. Sometimes they're very warranted. Really depends. You know.
That's one of my problems with ports is when mm-hmm. it's just come from the previous generation of console. And mm-hmm. we're seeing that a lot with the Nintendo Switch right now mm-hmm. with Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, mm-hmm. Mario Kart 8. Mm-hmm. I know there's more. But
Bayonetta.
There's
a lot. Bayonetta. Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah, practically and like, aces.
With that, you know, and like I said, when you look at a port, like the reason why I like the Kingdom Hearts ones on mm-hmm. PS3 was because they actually included the Japanese exclusive stuff. So mm-hmm. they had versions in Japan called Final Mix, which included hours and hours of extra stuff, bosses, you know, new material and everything. So they included that in the collection. So it wasn't kind of like, okay, we're just going to, you know, copy and paste mm-hmm. stuff. It was actually new stuff that never came over to the US. And then they did that for, you know, both the, you know, 1.5 and 2.5. And then, yeah, they redid it on the PS4. But one thing I liked about the PS4 version is that they actually kind of fixed a lot of the bugs, and they kind of added a bunch of like what's the word I'm looking for, like audio and visual changes. And like on the PS4, it looks freaking amazing. And they changed like a bunch of like the audio mm-hmm. mixing and stuff like that, like the Timeless River. So in the PS4 version on Timeless River, the audio is stereo. Not stereo, it's mono. The audio is mono. So because it's supposed to be like back in the day with Timeless River where they used mono audio, mm-hmm. they actually fixed the audio in the PS4 version and made it like it was like if you were actually during that time period, which was pretty cool. So it was all staticky and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So that was pretty cool. But then you have stuff like, you know, Tropical Freeze and stuff where they say, oh, here's a couple little things added to it, you know.
Funky mode.
Here's the,
yeah.
Yeah, or what did Mario Deluxe add?
Mario Deluxe was like, a couple extra racers, like King Boom Boo, King Boo, sorry, I'm thinking of another
King
character.
King Boom Boo?
That's actually a boss from Sonic Adventure 2. Knuckles fights him after a Death Egg level, but that's beside the point. But yeah, like they ended up King Boo, I think Dry Bones was introduced into the game, and then all the DLC characters are all in one game, like as a game of the year kind of thing.
That's
a
lot
of
collections.
Yeah, and the Splatoon characters.
Yep.
But actually tying into the Kingdom Hearts thing, don't want to make this all Kingdom Hearts, but
yeah.
Kingdom Hearts 1.5, when they made it for the PS3, is an actual from the ground up remake of the game.
And it was done by like five people, if I remember correctly.
No, like I'm not saying that like they actually had to rebuild the game.
Yeah, I know. And like, I was saying five people did it. Like five people rebuilt the game from ground up, basically.
Yep. So apparently when they went to go do the remaster, apparently they went to go look for the files, and then there was just like a 404 Kingdom Hearts not found. They lost the original source files for Kingdom Hearts 1.5. So they actually had to sit down and have someone replay the entire game and copy
rebuild
it and rebuild the game. So technically speaking, 1.5 is not a port. Technically, 1.5 is a complete remake of the game. So that's actually one that like I find that really curious. And like I also kind of wish that that happened with Kingdom Hearts 2 in a sense. Because Kingdom Hearts 1, I will not lie, the remaster of it is actually really clean. Like the game looks really fresh because it literally was worked on like a year ago. Mm-hmm. Opposed to Kingdom Hearts 2, obviously that game came out, you know, 13 years prior to it. Not 13, it was like 11 years prior. But it's just like, it's funny to see that that happened. And it's like, how do you, as a big company like this, lose your game? You know, I know you have a disc somewhere. Why couldn't you just rip it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, like stemming off of that, like it's funny that that one's poor. And then like a lot of people, like I guess the positive to the ports that we you usually don't see is that like a lot of people are happy that some ports come over to systems like all the Wii U ones because a system may have failed and they never saw a reason to buy a game on a system that was not going to go anywhere. Like example, obviously, with the Donkey Kong and the Mario Kart and all that. And then we have a lot of situations, too, where a system was kind of just floundering for like 6 or 7 years. And then they had a really great game right before their new system came out, Last of Us. And like some people have their gripes saying that maybe it shouldn't have been made as a next-gen title. Some people think it was a really great idea because they didn't spend $200 on a Blu-ray player. But, you know, it depends.
See, for me, I played it on the PS3, mm-hmm. and when they re-released it on the PS4 as a remastering, mm-hmm. they were like, oh, and it's got new updated graphics. And I was like, what do you mean? It came out less than a year ago, and you're re-releasing it on another system.
It came out 2 years later.
Well, yeah. Announced. When it was announced, it was like a year had passed.
And if I remember correctly, like, I think the PS4 version sold more. I don't... Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I really
yeah,
don't
it did.
Think the 1.5 and 2.5 sold that well on PS3.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and then I think that's, you know, a good thing, I guess. And of course, if they ever do decide to put it on Xbox and stuff like that. But I think the PS4 was the right thing. And that's kind of when looking at like stuff with the Switch and Wii U mm-hmm. is like you see them porting these games because they didn't do well on the previous system. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming up. But, you know, enough with Kingdom Hearts, you know, at the moment. But like, you know, Bayonetta,
I mean, Ferris
Bayonetta
already brought
2.
Up Last of Us.
I know. Okay, we're going to talk about Last of Us in bed, and I will fight. We will fight you on that one.
Actually,
but you know, Bayonetta is a good example. That you know, the Wii U just did not do well, and I'm really happy we see some of these games like Bayonetta coming over. Bayonetta 1 was a surprise, even though that was on Wii U too. I would love to see stuff like Fire Emblem. Fire Emblem X. What was that game called?
Oh, Tokyo Mirage Sessions? Is that what you're talking about?
Tokyo Mirage Sessions, yeah. I would love to see that come over.
Yeah.
I just feel like, yes, some of these ports suck. Some of them make sense. Some of them don't. But, you know, because there's a lot of great gems that were on the Wii U that I think could have much better
reception
life though. On reception and life on the Switch. Now, some of these small ones like, you know, Donkey Kong. I mean, it's Donkey Kong. That's going to do well. You know, mm-hmm. Zelda, you know, all those, they're Zelda games. They're going to do well. You know, these smaller games, Bayonetta, as popular as it is, isn't like a, you know, high-selling game. So
it's
I'm
a
glad
very
that came over.
Niche title.
Yeah. It, like, and my thing is with, like, with the porting, it's actually funny. One of the first titles that came out for the Switch was a port that a lot of people don't really realize.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah,
Breath
of the Wild is a 100% port. But it came out the same day, so it technically can't count, I guess.
Actually, it's kind of a reverse port now because they stopped developing it for the Wii U and started development on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ported it from the Switch back to the Wii U.
That's weird.
Yeah, because originally, if you go and watch like video footage of it for the Wii U and stuff like that, it uses the tablet as like a map and everything. Mm-hmm. That's gone because you can't do that on the Switch version.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of all the Wii U features that it would have used.
Well, they're saying that they got rid of the Wii U features because I actually watched something like this not too long ago. A lot of the Wii U features were removed because they didn't want it to be a split experience. They wanted it to be you're focusing mainly on the screen and smaller things on your touchpad. That's why they ended up doing it. I mean, it's probably power things too because, you know, the Wii U could handle almost Tetris sometimes. So I'm assuming that's one of the bigger reasons. But it's nice to see for some of the titles that we, you know, wouldn't see beforehand. But it's also kind of annoying when you see like a developer that should be putting ports on the system, but then you don't see the games that you would care about. Like example, with the Switch, like obviously it's really nice with the Switch because it's a portable system, obviously, and you have a lot of the games that you wouldn't see light on consoles because maybe they wouldn't give it the light of day or it would be a digital thing. It's like, I don't know if I want to pick it up that way. But a lot of games like, you know, It'll Do, Puyo Puyo. I mean, that got a physical release for a lot of things. So like to some of the smaller titles, you wouldn't see those on the consoles, or they've been out for a couple of years, like Resident Evil Revelations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm kind of upset with is Bethesda. I'm kind of mad at them right now with the Switch and porting things, because it's just like, I like that Doom is on the system, does really well. I don't like the Skyrim's on the system, but whatever, that's not either here nor there.
I mean, Skyrim has to play on everything. Yeah. It's even a joke within Bethesda at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but Wolfenstein 2, I get it, but why don't we have Wolfenstein 1? Like, yeah. I would have liked to see Wolfenstein, like the collection that they did prior, like a couple months ago, with one, well, like Old Blood and New Order, and then 2. Because we already waited like 7 months after you announced it. You know, or even Fallout 4. I was expecting that wholeheartedly.
Or Fallout 3. Or Fallout 3.
No, nobody wants that game. It's 20 years old at this point. Yeah. Like, Fallout 4 should have appeared. Like, if Skyrim can go on the Switch, why can't Fallout 4?
Yeah, I 100% agree with that one, especially with Fallout 4, because that's one of those games that I put so much time into on the PS4 that if it came out on the Switch,
your life is gone again.
That's a very damaging thing that they could do to me, because you would have no podcast for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like it's just some things I get tired of pointless ports, but I also get tired of ports that don't happen, that should happen. Like,
if anything, it angers me when they start porting stuff, but they don't announce the newer things that are coming up. Like,
so with the Switch example, it's just like, for the past couple months, like, if you go down the list of the games that came out each month, like, January, I don't think had anything, because it was December was Xenoblade, nothing in January, then February was Bayonetta, March was that Donkey Kong? No, that was May. What was in March?
That was May.
I don't think anything was in March.
I don't think anything happened in March. April was,
When did Rabbids come out?
Oh, August of last year.
Yeah, that was...
Well, I guess if we're going over last year's launches, then yes. Like, last year, like, obviously we had,
why can't I think? I mean, last year it was every 2 months there was a big release.
Because you had Zelda, obviously, at launch. Then you had Mario Kart Aces. Or not Aces, Mario Kart Deluxe. Then you had Ultra Street Fighter 2 as your May release, which was odd to bank off of. Then June was ARMS. July was Splatoon. August was Mario Rabbids. September was Pokken.
Yeah. Which was another port that I didn't understand.
I didn't understand why that came over. But I guess to whoever wanted that, that's cool. But like that's back to it, you know.
Going on that one game, that's one game where they squandered their ability to port it, because they ported it over and they were like, cool, two new characters that are going to be DLC packs that are going to cost you $15 each.
Not everything. So there was DLC characters like Blastoise and Aegislash that came out.
Yeah.
But there was characters that didn't come out in our version that came out in the arcade variants.
Oh, okay.
That were introduced in that version. Like, it was like Lucario. Like, I can't remember exactly what Pokemon they were, but it was a couple Pokemon that came over that way. But it still wasn't enough to be, because the game came out in early 2016, I want to say.
Yeah, it didn't constitute bringing it over.
Yeah, it was like, only a year later. That was actually shorter than, I guess, your gripe of Last of Us. Like, that came over in a shorter time period.
That said, when Pokken was... Yeah. announced, I was also angry about
At Pokken, because it's like they hyped it up as such a big thing for Pokemon. They're like, yeah, we're announcing Pokemon related for a Switch. And I was like, huh? What's going on? What are we making? And then you find out it's Gold and Silver and Crystal being re-released. Woo! On the 3DS.
Let me get my party popper out.
It's just Nintendo, I would say, in their porting department, some games are really not warranted. Some games are warranted. If anything, if they're just going to squander releases, just release all the Resident Evils again if you're going to do that. Like, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
Because like, that's what Nintendo's, I guess, known for.
Yeah, because when it came to, like, even Mario Kart, I'm glad they got it out there, gave me a chance to play Mario Kart on the Switch. But I also would have been okay if they, instead of did that, they started developing a new Mario Kart game for the Switch and added all this stuff in along with more stuff and kind of... actually made a game out of it instead of a port. It didn't need to be a port. They could have made a new game using that as the basis.
Well, the game was fairly old by the time they ported it.
It was about
3 years old by then.
There was still room to improve it and actually make it into its own game instead of a port.
It's weird because they still support 7 on the DS.
Do they?
Yep. They still support that really hard, and they still push out bundles with it.
I wasn't aware that...
You know, 7 is really, really... popular because it's literally before the Wii U, it was the portable Mario Kart, you know?
That's true.
So yeah, that's kind of unwarranted. But I guess going around to the idea of ports and things that we dislike with it, I hate when it's an HD remake or re-release or whatever they want to call it. A game just literally gets dropped into fidelity, HD fidelity. All right, sweet, here's your game. You know, example like the
coffee filter, now it's HD.
Right. Example like Metal Gear Collection, as I was talking about with Legacy earlier. Yeah. When they did the Metal Gear 1 and 2 – or sorry, 2 and 3 when that came over to Xbox, that was a huge deal for me. I was like, whoa, what do you mean? I can play Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3, my two favorites, on my Xbox? Sign me up, you know? And then it came over and it's just like, this isn't even a different game. Like, I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be really different anyway, I guess. I guess I was a little bit more naive back when that happened.
They stretched it.
But it was just like... it was just the games put onto two – it was two discs still. They put them all into two discs to give me Peace Walker on one disc and then Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 on a separate disc. It's just like – I didn't even get substance of either one of these. What happened? Yeah. So,
and then, yeah, we saw that a lot with like all the remasters, you know, Shadow of the Colossus, Ico Collection, mm-hmm. which in turn they ended up remaking Shadow of the Colossus, which was the right thing to do. Like that was actually a good, but that was a remake because where they rebuilt that from the ground up. But the Ico Shadow of the Colossus, because the one big thing that people had gripes about like those games is that they ran poorly. And they still ran very poorly on the PS3 remasters. So it's like the whole point of to making it better is to, you know, fix the controls and, you know, stuff like that. And they didn't get fixed in the – they were still great games. They just didn't fix the issues they had with them, at least with the Shadow of the Colossus. Yeah, it still had some issues, but it was still extremely improved. And, you know, and that was – and like you said, with just those PS3, you know, Xbox remasters, they really didn't do anything.
They copy-pasted the old game onto a new disc.
Right.
And
yeah,
it's just lazy, and I don't like that. And one of my biggest gripes with that actually comes from the Ratchet & Clank one, which, as I said earlier, was terrible because they didn't re-letterbox everything. They had it so...
Yeah, it still had weird 6x9 widescreen, yeah.
Yeah, it was a strange ratio. A ratio the game wasn't meant to be shown in. So you have characters standing off to the side in like a half model kind of pose that they didn't mean for you to do or be able to see. And it just showed how lazy the effort was. And for something I love as much as Ratchet and Clank, to be playing those, I couldn't do it. You know, that is a sign of a terrible port, is when I'm going, this is a thing that I love, and I will happily go back and plug my PS2 in and play it again. It came out on the PS3, awesome, I get to play it on a new system, it's going to be the same game and everything, and I just go, I can't do it. I can't play this version of the game.
And you know, the thing that would have helped out Sony so well if they would have released these collections the right way, what I mean by that... We're going to go down the lane of talking about a certain system that shoulda, coulda, woulda, but did fail, the Vita.
Yes.
The Vita itself, it had a really strong concept. It was like having a PS2 in your pocket. It could do so much. And then they kind of squandered the idea of releasing all the collections for the systems. Like, most of them did come out. Like, Jak and Daxter came out. Metal Gear came out. But Sly Cooper didn't. God of War didn't. Ratchet and Clank didn't. You know,
yeah, I did. Yeah, Ratchet, Clank,
Ratchet
was on
and
it.
Clank did come to the Vita.
Yeah,
digital. It's not. Oh a
yeah, digital.
Copy, which
yeah.
is silly.
Yeah,
to
okay,
think.
Yeah, digital. Because they also like, had Borderlands,
which didn't need to go anywhere. I don't know why they put that on a Vita, but
yeah,
it's just that like if they would have put a lot more effort into those games going onto that Vita, I think that system would have done well. Because it was a really great idea with the Metal Gear Collection, where you could do transferring, is whatever they called it, which was. You can continue your save as long as you have the same remake copy on your PS3 or Vita, and you can kind of swap the save between them. That was an amazing idea. I even use that to this day. Like, I legitimately, when I got a Vita, like maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I play my Vita when I'm going to sleep. I'll wake up either that next morning or when I get back to my PS3, pop up my save, and then I start playing it on my TV. It's a phenomenal concept, but they killed it.
Yeah, it's basically the concept of the Switch before the Switch was a thing.
Right.
Yeah, I think the best thing that the Vita had for it, that it was backwards compatible with digital PSP games, but then you
Not
got
all of
games,
them.
Yeah. But then you got some of the best games on there, such as Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII, Peace Walker. Those weren't available digitally on PSP, so you couldn't play them on the – was Peace Walker digital? No, it wasn't.
No.
I don't – no, it wasn't. But then they released that on – they released the collection for Vita, I thought.
Yeah, no, it's in that, but it's not digital.
Yeah, but it's not digital, yeah. So for people who bought the game digitally on PSP, you know, they couldn't play it on that. And that was probably the reason why.
I think that would have saved the – like Kingdom Hearts would have wholeheartedly saved the Vita. If they would have put those on the Vita, Vitas would have sold like hotcakes. You wouldn't have been able to get them out of people's hands.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I guess in that sense, like some things just – I guess could have, should have, would have, you know. But it's also nice to see some companies when they do a remake right. Like generally Sony does really well with the remakes. Like example, Shadow Colossus. Ratchet and Clank they did really well with.
Yeah, which actually mm-hmm. Shadow of the Colossus I want to talk about for a moment because mm-hmm. that is a perfect example of how you do a remake of a game. Mm-hmm. They updated the controls just slightly to be updated to what people are used to now. But still be able to keep that feel of the original game. So if you put down Shadow of the Colossus for the PS2 and picked it up on the PS4, you wouldn't feel like the controls really changed on you. But if you actually just jumped into it now, it still feels like a fresh game.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, it looks absolutely beautiful. They remodeled everything in the game so it looks like it was made today.
Mm-hmm.
Sold for $40, so not full retail price.
Ratchet and Clank did the same thing.
Yeah. And so it actually felt like a true remake. It didn't feel like a money grab. It felt like, hey, people missed out on this game. Let's put our love and effort into this mm-hmm. and make it so people would be able to relive this game and people that missed it will be able to experience this magical game for the mm-hmm. first time.
Right.
And it feels right in every single way.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other game that I can think of right now that captures that same kind of I know you put love into this is the Crash Bandicoot trilogy.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to get the Spyro collection, which I hope is as good as the Crash Bandicoot.
I hope so,
I really hope it's really good, too. And then you see these games that, you know, where it gets remade multiple times. Like I remember Final Fantasy IV. I swear that game's been remade like 4 times already. And then
3 times.
Chrono Trigger get remade like 3 times too?
Nope.
They had the original.
It's only been re-released once. It was re-released on the DS.
Yeah.
Yep. But we're going a little too far. Final Fantasy IV came out on the Game Boy when they had a Game Boy Advance when they were having a weird like Final Fantasy phase on the Game Boy Advance, and then they released it on the DS after they realized people like 3D-ish 2D Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that was an actual like remake in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but like at the same time, like when I was saying, like, you know, Microsoft and Sony do really well with their remakes. Even Nintendo does, obviously, with their Wind Wakers and their Pokemon games they remake. I actually enjoyed the Master Chief Collection. I think that was possibly one of the best things that Microsoft could have done.
It had a lot of issues, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really great game. I thought it was a phenomenal title to have on an Xbox One. Alex is irrelevant, and he's a stop.
Was it a remake or a port? Because I never actually played
it.
So
Halo Master Chief, Halo Combat Evolved was the first game, and they remastered that back in like 2011.
Right.
Then they put that into the collection, which gives you Halo 1 remastered, Halo 2 remastered, which is exclusive to that collection, Halo 3 in 1080p, and then Halo 4 in 1080p. Now, those two are just ports in a sense.
Okay.
And Halo 1, same thing, because that's a port from a 360 title. But then Halo 2 is what made it for me because it's an entire remake of the game. They literally were like, cutscenes, this studio makes it. Game, this studio makes it.
Yeah, right, they were the anniversary.
Yeah.
I think that's what they called it.
Yeah, it was an amazing title. It played – like the gameplay was amazing if you don't look online. And the gameplay was really, really great. Like I enjoyed the skulls. I enjoyed everything because it wasn't like, oh, let's take your game, change it a little bit, and then put it into a new engine. It was literally – Xbox original game, right into Xbox One engine. All right, sweet. This game looks great, and it plays exactly like I remember. Awesome. Glitches and all. Thank you. And I didn't have a problem with that because it was the game I remembered but just looked better, and I didn't have to blow off my old Xbox to play it.
You didn't have the – you didn't need nostalgia goggles for it to continue looking good because everybody remembers their, you know, SOCOM on the PS2 looking fantastic, and then you pop it in today, and you're like – that's not how I remember it.
That game looks terrible.
That looks terrible. Somebody swapped out my copy for another game, apparently.
Yeah, and like there's also some weird instances of remakes that they're not remakes, just another way to play it. And like one of the examples was Final Fantasy 15. So like they came out with like a pocket edition. So they basically remade the entire game, but they made it like into like a chibi mobile game. And it's the entire story of the Final Fantasy game, like, but they made it for people who can play it on their phone. It's easier to play. And I thought that was really cool. And it's only like $20 and you experience the entire story just like in a different way. And I thought it's considered a remake, even though the game just came out, you know, not too long after the original did. But that was cool. But I think that, you know, with remakes also, they could also save a company, which happened with Square Enix with Final Fantasy 14. Because when Final Fantasy 14 came online, it was horrible. It was god awful. It did terribly. And then basically when they were going to remake, they shut the entire game down and they basically remade that entire game and then relaunched it back as A Realm Reborn. And if it wasn't for A Realm Reborn doing successful, Square Enix probably would have shut down. Mm-hmm. Like, 14 did so bad that if they didn't do well with A Realm Reborn, I think we would no longer have Square Enix.
Well,
like that nearly killed them.
It didn't help that it came right after all the hate from 13, 13-2, and 13 Lightning's Return.
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, and that was because they completely rebuilt the entire game from like ground up, like from when, because I think it was when they shut it off. And then they brought it back in 20. I forget when they brought it back, but it was a few years. But they basically almost had to they kept all the mechanics and stuff and everything like that. But they basically almost had to rebuild the entire game over again, like new worlds, new everything. And that, I think that's, I don't know if you can consider that a remake, but in my eyes, I consider it a remake because they basically remade the entire game.
It kind of is, but at the same time, the Final Fantasy 14, when it released, was so bad they had to refund people on the game time that they bought, and it made it a free-to-play game for a period of time because nobody wanted to pay money to actually play it. Mm-hmm. That way they could justify keeping the servers online while they remade it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, and I remember I was there when they shut it down, and there was a lot of people there, and I think when they announced A Realm Reborn and they released it, there's just a lot riding on it, and it worked out, and it's still one of the most played MMOs now. But I think that's like a rare type of remake that you don't see often, where they scrap it and then basically just rebuild it again.
I think that's more of a sequel than a remake, because
it definitely is a sequel. It definitely is a sequel, but in the grand overall type of thing, I consider it a remake. It definitely is a sequel it in story wise, because it takes place, you know, after it continues the story and everything, but you know, they still had to basically just scrap everything and rebuild everything back up.
Yeah,
it's a weird concept.
Yeah, with that one, I don't really see it as much of a remake, because they literally had to rebuild the game entirely new. Mm-hmm. It's not going from do A, B, C for the story from one game to another. It's now do D, E, F. That's more of a sequel than a remake. It does follow the same concepts and everything, but so does a sequel. It's more of a sequel than a remake for that
if
one.
If anything, it would be a reboot.
Yeah, a reboot, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a reboot.
But yeah, like, I guess tying back to the idea, because we just kind of washed over it. Some games, when they come out very quickly after a previous gen version of it coming out, like example, you know, Last of Us, we have some stuff like that. What was the other title that was like that? I can't remember exactly. But like when you get the games that were made for 360 or PS3 and ported up to PS4 and Xbox One, just because they were the newest and the greatest, you know, like example.
Like it came out within the last year of the console, and it was now, oh, we got to move it to this console because this is what people are playing.
Yeah, like
now.
Assassin's Creed 4, I think, even had that happen. Because it came out like that October, and then that November it came out for those systems. It was just like,
but those were like a couple weeks, like kind of like the, you know, because Battlefield 4 did that. It came out like the last week of October, but then it came out a couple weeks later when the PS4 launched. Because when Assassin's Creed came out, they released them before the PS4 came out. So when the PS4 came out, then you could trade it in and get the PS4 version.
That was the issue, is because a lot of those games still suffer from the same problem. They weren't PS4 true titles or Xbox One true titles, they were games that were made for those previous systems, but now they run a little bit smoother, or they have a little bit shinier graphics.
Or neither of those, and now they just run on the new console.
Mm. Would you say a title did that?
Yes, I would.
Oh, what title?
Last of Us.
I will disagree entirely.
I would disagree to either.
I played Last of Us on the PS3, and mm-hmm. I played a little bit of it on the PS4, mm-hmm. and it did not look different at all.
You know what I enjoyed about it that was different? That I wasn't waiting 40 years to load my game. That was nice. You know, the fact that I can install my game and not wait 40 years to load it up so I can continue my save from last night.
So you've played it and beat it now?
No. Not at all. It will happen like weeks before Last of Us 2 comes out.
I was going to say.
But it's just that version, when I played it on PS3 for a hot second and I was just sitting here like, how can anyone enjoy this? How can anyone sit here and just every time they load up the game, they have to wait 10 minutes? To enjoy it. Staring at the same windowsill. For what?
I just want to pause this. We can get back to this in a moment. But, Ferris, what are your thoughts on Metal Gear Solid 4?
Metal Gear Solid 4? Yeah, it was a great game.
Great game. No
problem.
I don't understand
what the issue is. Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 4, strong story. Had a monkey smoking a cigarette. Guns. Invisible people. I don't understand.
No loading problems with that game?
Huh? There was... yeah. There were some loading things that happen. Games have loading screens. I don't understand. Like, that game, like, if anything, I mean, if you want to go a long cutscene, sure. But it doesn't mean bad loading screens. It let me install the game like I wanted.
The game was very courteous in giving me a chance to prepare dinner, eat dinner, and then wait around for
I don't know about all
screen.
That, man. That's egregious to say that. I would say that it was just a little too, maybe a little lengthy. But that was also a game from 2006 compared to 2012.
Okay.
So I'll give you that. That was Hideo Kojima. They were letting him do what he wanted, and he made a fool of them. But Last of Us, that was like one of the – just as a quality of life thing. It's just like, oh, wait. I can load my game and play it before I have my firstborn. It's nice. And then like obviously you got the DLC with it for free.
Which was nice. I will say that 100% it was the first time I actually got to play the DLC was on the PS4 version.
Yeah. And it wasn't $60.
Yes. It came with it. No, and it was the DLC?
No. I'm talking about the game. When it came out, it was $50.
Yes. Yeah. That's another thing that mm-hmm. I will 100% approve of is when it re-releases, it's not re-releasing at the full retail price.
Right.
Which normally I think 30 to 40 is the sweet spot, but that one, because it did come out right afterwards, I guess
the world ends with you. That game.
We'll get there. We'll get there. That's
what's wrong with that?
Oh, just
that's $60.
We'll get there. We still have some time in the podcast before we destroy it and make people hate me forever.
No, I'll rip it apart because I'll defend it wholeheartedly. we're going over it now.
Back to Last of Us, though. I mean, the thing about Last of Us that sucks is that it released 5 months before the PS4 came out. And I think that when Naughty Dog had the choice, they were like, okay, we can push this game and just release it on PS4. Or we can just release it on the PS3. This could be our, you know, our goodbye, like, masterpiece for the PS3. And then we can just work on it and, you know, do the PS4 version. And I think the reason why they decided to release it on PS3 was because I read an interview saying that the port for the PS4 version was just absolute nightmare. So I think by the time they had a choice to whether they want to just finish it on PS4, it would have taken them longer to do that than to just release it on. They already had it finished and to release it on PS3, because they said the port for the PS4 was just god awful to do. It was, they said it was like a hellish nightmare to finish the port. And that's probably why it released a year later instead of, you know, 5 months when, you know, like, you know, when the PS4 first released. But I think the PS4 version is the definitive version. I mean, it runs great. It looks phenomenal in HDR. It, you know, I didn't think it looked different at all. Well, when did you last play it? Did you last play it when it first came out, or did you play it
when it first came out?
Okay. Play it now with HDR. Now that you have a 4K TV, play it again on HDR and it looks freaking amazing. Like that HDR patch actually was freaking good. But that's just, you know, if you're into that kind of stuff. But I think it just plays better, the control, especially with the controller. I love my PS3, but I will admit the controller wasn't the best.
I actually like the PS3 controller more than the PS4 controller.
You're one PS4. Of you.
Yeah, I like the kind of like more upside down bowl for the joysticks than that weird little divot in it.
I play with my thumbs, so I don't really notice anything. If anything, I hate convex controllers because of that, because I play with, you know, the balls of my thumbs and I do the tips of my thumbs.
See, so I always do just kind of like the it's right under my thumb.
Like if you imagine just the top of a cap, that's literally how I do it all the time.
Okay.
And so then the triggers and then but still but yeah, I mean, I think The Last of Us 1, and they took their time with it. It came out a year later. It didn't come out right when the PS4 was like, hey, you know, didn't buy Last of Us when it came out 5 months ago. Well, here we go. And actually, there's a lot of people, like one of my friends I used to work with, he was like, yeah, I never got a chance to own a PS3 because I was in school and stuff like that. And I've always wanted to play this. And like he got a PS4 for Christmas from his fiance. And right when Last of Us came out on PS4, he played it. And he was just like, I can't believe I never played this. And I knew a lot of people. There's a lot of people I knew that didn't own the last generation. I don't know if it's just because the times back then, you know, where people weren't playing games much and then the gaming fatigue and stuff like that. But there's a lot of people that didn't play much on the PS3 and 360. And I feel like, you know, when the PS4 came out, that brought a lot of casual gamers in. And that's when because if you look at like people on like online forums, they're like, oh man, I just finally played Last of Us. How did I never play this game? And I've been seeing a lot of that lately.
Those people should be because you're an idiot and you should have played it from the start.
Yeah, Paris. Exactly.
Wow, you're looking me right in the face, yeah. Huh?
But this worked out in favor of Sony releasing it on the PS4, and I think I still think it's the better version. But at least it came out a year later and not, you know, a quick, you know, port that came out 5 months later.
Yeah,
at least they took their time with it.
I mean, like speaking on that same concept, it's funny because the Tomb Raider remake was like that. So
which one?
So when Tomb Raider came over from PS3,
are you talking about the rebooted?
Are you talking about the definitive version?
Yeah, like the funny thing is because that's also a lot of people's first times of playing that game. Even though it came out on PS3 and 360, a lot of people just kind of was like, I'll just play Last of Us or Uncharted and just kind of swept it under the rug. But then when it came out on PS4 and Xbox One, I was like, whoa, her hairs move. She has individual hairs in her ponytail.
That was cool.
Yeah, and then people started playing that version. Yeah. So it. I guess in the defense of Last of Us, like there are a lot of people who will dismiss a game because they're like, I don't want to play this. I know there's new systems on the horizon. I'll wait until a definitive version comes out or a better version comes out.
And that was honestly, that last year and a half, once we knew the PS4 was going to release in 2013, a lot of people basically just stopped buying new games. I mean, Last of Us sold well and so did a bunch of other games during that time. But one of the biggest thing was that last year and a half, there was just a lot of fatigue. And a lot of people said like that was like kind of like a downfall with the last generation with Xbox and PlayStation, was that there was just, you know, it went on for too long with just barely any games to play. And there wasn't much releases the last year or so. And, you know, people are just like, you know what? There's a new console coming out. I'll just wait till that comes out and see if they just port it. Because we know that these games that come out in the last year are probably going to be on the new system. And they did. Almost every game that came out within the last year of the PlayStation and Xbox coming out were released on the PS4 and Xbox One. And now we're getting games like Devil May Cry. That's back on PS4. Jak and Daxter Collection just released on PS4. Like, you know, that last year is just people just stop playing games.
That's crazy that people actually stopped playing or buying the games like a year before the PS4 came out for the PS3. With the Wii U, they waited 5 years and stopped buying games for it before the Switch came out.
Yeah.
You know, apparently Nintendo fans are a lot more patient.
Speaking of Nintendo games and remakes.
Yes.
And games like that.
Yeah.
We had Alex a couple minutes ago bring up the idea that A World Ends With You is more money than its original copy.
Yes.
But I want to hear his thoughts on any of the Pokemon remasters or any of the Zelda remasters at all. Or let's say Final Fantasy VII when that comes out. That'll be like three times the price that it was
Oh, I know that. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I wasn't complaining about it.
Oh, okay.
This is me complaining.
I'm just saying, okay. No, because Brad was talking about like how when you mentioned like Last of Us being $50, you know, like Brad was talking like, oh yeah, it's like it wasn't $60, and I was like, oh, you mean like World Ends with You? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm gonna buy it. I'm gonna buy World Ends with You. I love that game. I'll spend $50, you know, with 60. My 20% off, with my 20% off. But I mean, I'll pay. I mean,
what if it comes out after March?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm not
$60.
I'm not that much of a in the hole, you know, hurting with money to spend an extra, you know, $10 or $15 on mm-hmm. on a game that I really enjoy. You know, I guess I'm not one of those type of people that really cares for stuff, you know, like that. Now, if the game was like, you know, if it was like a game where, plus I'm trying to find a good example, maybe something like those HD remasters where they came out, like when they came out, they were $40. If those games came out at $60, yeah, I'd kind of be a little bit, you know, upset and stuff like that. But, you know, the World Ends With You, I think that with the changes, I think that it's it could be worth the price of $60. But it differs between each person, to be honest.
I'm going to say no, it is not worth it at that price. The World Ends With You is a great game. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend everybody play it. Mm-hmm. It when it comes out on the Switch, wait for it to go on sale or something and then buy it because it is a fantastic game. But I cannot support the idea of bringing a game that is 11 years old now because mm-hmm. it was 2006 or 2007 that it came out for the DS. Mm-hmm. And now it's being brought to the Nintendo Switch. It's being redrawn, mm-hmm. but the game isn't changing at all. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's going to look really good on the Switch, but at the same time, it should be $30, $40 because it launched at $40. No, it actually launched at $30 mm-hmm. for the DS.
Because it was a Square Enix game. The only games that were $40 in the DS era were Mario and Pokemon.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the question I have for you, did you buy 2.8 at all?
I did not.
I did. Mm. I did.
Mm. You didn't buy 2.8?
I did not. Yeah, well, no, I did end up buying it later.
No, you didn't buy it.
It's
like somehow it was free. But because I was gonna bring that up. It's like a lot of people, like I guess in that same aspect, were like, they bought 2.8, which is literally a demo attached with a DS game. That's $20 more than its DS variant. You know, but it's like I do see that aspect. But at the same time, if the game is done well enough, I can justify the price. I just have a problem with when games are ported and they're more. But even at the same time, they release on other systems, but now they're more on one system. So like the Switch Tax example, like L.A. Noir.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's like that was really upsetting for me because I actually wanted to pick up L.A. Noir and I'm probably going to pick it up sometime in this lifetime. But it was upsetting that the game itself is 50, but on the like PS4 and Xbox One, it was like 40. Then if I didn't have an SD card, I had to get that to play the game.
And that wasn't the digital version 42. Like it was only the physical version.
Yeah, because they were charging. Right. It's because of Nintendo allowing developers to be cheap with their cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they do that for a lot of the Nintendo Switch games, where if it releases on all three consoles, it'll be more expensive on the Switch mm-hmm. by even just a couple dollars. And it's mm-hmm. that's a stupid conversation for another day that doesn't mm-hmm. all had to do with remakes and everything.
No,
but yeah, some remakes and ports do fall into the category of having that stupid tax put onto it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember, I forget what it was. I think it was, Majora's Mask? It was one of the Zelda games that was like a remake, remaster. I forget. I can't remember. It was Wind Waker. I think Majora's Mask. Which one's released all on Wii U?
It was Twilight Princess and Wind Waker.
Yeah. Okay, Majora's Mask was 3DS, right?
Mm-hmm. And Ocarina.
Yep. Okay, yeah, I think it was Majora's Mask because it came with the little mask,
Oh, it came with the statue of.
Yeah, because when that came out, it was funny because I think that was a GameStop exclusive, mm-hmm. and it was like way more. No, it wasn't a GameStop exclusive. It was because they had it at Best Buy too, but GameStop was charging more for it. Than Best Buy, because I think Best Buy had it for like the $50 or $60, and then GameStop had it for like $70, and then like because it was sold out everywhere, and I remember I had to get it at GameStop and I had to pay like $10 more just because it was sold out. I thought that was, I don't know what was going on with that, but I remember like GameStop being $70 while, and this was before their Gamers Club like discount. So with Gamers Club, it would have been cheaper, of course. Like the MSRP was like $60, I think, at Best Buy and other places. But for some reason, GameStop had it for like 70 or 80 bucks.
I think with that one, that was a weird case where the MSRP actually changed when the game was coming out. And retailers updated it, but GameStop was not one of the retailers that updated to the new MSRP.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that. That was just a, I don't know if that was just like GameStop doing that or whatever, but I remember that. And I know like with when games come out, we always try to see like, it's like, oh, there's like a placeholder, and then it ends up going cheaper. But I remember when The World Ends With You came up, you know, GameStop had it for 60. It's like, oh, that must be a mistake, you know, probably going on 40. But no, that's the real price. Kind of like with the VR game for Wolfenstein. I think that went up on Amazon for like 60, but I think the real price is like 30 bucks or something like that.
Yeah, but they adjust those. It's placeholder price, and then later, people were like, hold on, it's still $60 for World Ends With You on the Switch? That doesn't sound right. Is that right, Nintendo? And Nintendo's front page is like, yeah, that's right. $60. Fork it over.
Yeah. So, yeah, in that aspect, it's like, it's nice. It sucks to see games that are like, are weirdly priced compared to what their original variants are, unless like it's warranted with what they add in the game. I think the one that I did have an issue with was Twilight Princess. Twilight Princess, at the time, I want to say it was 60, so it was $10 more than the Wii variant because
on the Wii U version,
yeah, okay. When that came out. But at the same time, the only reason it was justified for me is because it came with a Wolf Link amiibo.
True,
yeah, it did,
and it gave me no gyroscope controls for the Twilight Princess Wii version of the game. I enjoyed that, but at the same time, it was annoying that I guess that I had to pay more for an amiibo that I guess I didn't necessarily want because they never released it without it.
They did later. They released it as a Nintendo Selects title but not at launch. At launch, it was you get it with the amiibo or you don't get it at all.
Yeah, and it's just like I would have been okay with paying 50 and getting it without the amiibo because it's like, when did I use it? I didn't use it until I bought Breath of the Wild.
I was going to say, I used it with Breath of the Wild, but that was about it.
Right, so.
Yeah. And I really wish, like, back then when they were releasing all these, like, Zeldas and stuff like that, I was really hoping they would release Skyward Sword just because I really want to play that game without any motion controls. Because, I mean, yeah, with Twilight Princess and Wind Waker, we had the GameCube versions. And then the Wii version, which if you didn't want to play the one with controls, you could just go and play the old, you know, GameCube versions or, you know, now the Wii U versions. It's like, but we never got a freaking Skyward Sword. That's the one game I want them
to. I think Skyward Sword is going to come to the Switch. Like, I think they wanted to wait on that because it's kind of the same train with everything else, like with Pokemon, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, in the DS era, they released so I guess going back, Game Boy, they only had Fire Red and Leaf Green. That was the only remake they did because they only had three gens at the time. Then the fourth gen comes around and then they remade Heart Gold and Soul Silver in the fourth gen engine. Then sixth gen came around, they remade third gen in its engine. And then we're probably going to see something like that on the Switch where we're going to see fourth gen on the Pokemon, on the Switch and all that.
Well, we are seeing the remakes of the original Gen 1 with this, with Let's Go Eevee and Let's Go Pikachu. Those are basically remakes of the first games, simplified with Go controls and blah, blah, blah.
So that's why, like, and I think that's what they're kind of following suit is just like two per system. So, example, the 3DS only got two. They got Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask. And then on the Wii U, we got obviously Wind Waker and then we got Twilight Princess. So I think that's what they're going to do. Like when Skyward Sword, whenever they decide to rear their ugly head with that, just because of the fact that the Switch isn't so motion controlled that I think they'll release it without its motion controls. And I think Skyward Sword will be a phenomenal game because of it. Because that was one of the biggest gripes of the game.
It's one of the games I've always wanted to play. I've always wanted to play that game. It's just I just could not do the motion controls. I really love the concept and the art style of it. I just never played it.
And it's actually funny too because Skyward Sword, that was a game that also fell into the category of you had to buy a peripheral to enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Because if you had the original Wii, you couldn't even play with the original Wiimote. You had to either get the version that gave you the special gold controller with Wii Motion Plus inside, or you had to buy the Wii Motion Plus, which was like 40 bucks at the time. So you had to buy the game in that just to enjoy it because it was so big on – it wasn't just, you know, basic left, right, up, down, and lateral motions. It was twist your wrist and swing it kind of thing.
It needed to be able to know where the controller was at all times in the angle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So But that's what I'm curious. Like, I think they'll probably do away with that because the Switch is not very big on the motion controls. It hasn't, but it's nowhere near as big as it was with the Wii and the Wii U.
Yeah, I think the only game that's really used it so far, besides the demo 1-2 Switch, mm-hmm. is ARMS. Mm-hmm. That's the only game that I can think of that really
uses it. Splatoon is very big on motion controls.
I think the motion controls for the Switch are more simplified motion controls, unlike the Wii was. You know, this, yeah, you have, you know, here, jab, 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 or Pokemon Go is going to be, you know, throwing the Pokeballs. You know, very simple motions, unlike, you know, like with Skyward Sword and, you know, games like Mad World, when you had to do, like, different combos, and what was that game with Travis? No More Heroes, where you had, like, the different, you know, combos and stuff like that. You know, you didn't have, you don't have to do all that stuff. It's just basic, you know, up, down motions, you know, stuff that's very simple. And of course, you have games like 1-2 Switch in a way. They're, you know, mini games, but it's kind of like draw the controller, stuff like that. But then that's kind of like with Pokemon Go and everything else like that.
Yeah. Well, the one remake that you just brought up, Ferris, the Pokemon ones with Fire Red, Leaf Green, and then later Heart Gold, Soul Silver, those ones actually have a strange story behind them of why they came out. With the third generation of Pokemon, which was the Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald, you weren't able to actually transfer Pokemon from the second or first generation over to those games. The reason for the remakes
was so you could get those Pokemon,
so you could get those Pokemon before they reinvented the entire system with XY and making it so you could breed for those Pokemon and everything like that. And those are remakes that, first off, were made with purpose, and they actually put love and care into them. And because Fire Red, Leaf Green looks beautiful because it's on the new engine. It gave people a way to play it and make it look fresh. And then with Soul Silver, Heart Gold, they adapted it and made it so it had features that previous Pokemon games didn't even have.
Yeah, and then they were considered as some of the best games that came out, like Pokemon-wise.
Yeah.
Like they had, you know, the Pokemon Yellow elements where you could have a Pokemon following you around. Then you had all the other stuff where like all the
different – the Pokewalker.
The Pokewalker and the music and stuff like that, which is one of my bigger things about that. So like I guess going down the route of how you make a remake the right way, don't just add – don't just put in a new engine and just say, oh, this is a remake. Do something that pays homage to people who played this game originally. Like, example, with Red and with Heart Gold and Soul Silver, they changed up the game. So the game itself is Gold and Silver, story-wise, until it hits the Elite Four. Then when it hits the Elite Four, it turns into Crystal.
Yeah.
So because Suicune, you have the quest with Yusinne, where you have to follow him around, and then you find Suicune in a certain spot, and you catch him. And then it's also cool, too, because you have the GB player that you can get in Kanto, where if you use it as your key item some places, it will change the music from what it is remastered to the old music. And you could do it with everything, whether it be battles, you could do it with whatever. And that was something that actually kind of upset me when they did the later games, remake-wise, like with Ruby and Sapphire. They didn't have a GB player. Well, they didn't have stuff like that.
That one originally was a remake they didn't even want to make. They only made it because fans kept requesting it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid of, is that Diamond and Pearl I don't think will happen. I think if it does happen, it will happen because they have to keep up appearances. But I don't think it's going to be something that's going to be made with love and care like we think it will be.
Right.
It'll be pushed out.
Fire Red, Leaf Green, and then Heart Gold, Soul Silver, they put love and care into those, and you can feel it. When you play Omega Ruby and I'm trying to remember Alpha Sapphire, it doesn't have that same feeling. They pretty much went, here's the story in the new aesthetic of the Pokemon games. Go. You know, here's some extra Mega Evolutions. Have fun. And that was it. It didn't have the same impact. And it might have been like an age difference thing between playing Heart Gold, Soul Silver, and then playing Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. But it didn't have the same impact of going, this was worth buying. It was more, well, I bought this. It was the Pokemon game I was expecting it to be. But it was sadly the Pokemon game I was expecting it to be. You know. So even with Pokemon right there, you have the example of what makes somebody go, that was a remake that was worth it, or a port, or a, something that was worth rebuilding and bringing new life into. And then something else going, you didn't need to do that. Right in the same franchise.
Right. So, and it sucks too, because they came off the heels of X and Y, which was such a phenomenal reboot to the series. Like, people loved those titles. They were such a new title. And then they just like, let's just make this game.
Well, it's because everybody wanted it.
Yeah, which is a prime example of Resident Evil 2. Because I know people have been asking for a Resident Evil 2 remake ever since they remade the first one. I think it was Resident Evil 0. And then now that's coming out in January. And then, of course, the biggest one that everyone's been clamoring about, you know, Final Fantasy VII, which will be out for ages. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the times we get remakes is when fans demand it. Rarely do we get stuff where, you know, it's the studios that remake it. Most of the time it's because fans have been asking for it for who God knows how long.
Yeah, it's more of a – it's less – we have a reason to make this, and more, you people won't, you know, stop yelling for us to make this again. And I have a feeling that's what's going to happen with Final Fantasy VII, is it's going to be in the border of having actual effort put into it and releasing something because fans keep yelling
before,
for it.
Yeah, and before we head off, because I know we're almost there, but with the Final Fantasy I, what I read about that with Nomura is that he said that he wasn't wanting to make it, remake it, but with this he doesn't know if fans are going to like it because he is making changes to it. He's not making a direct like remake of the original one. He's actually basically remaking the entire game.
He's kind
like,
of rebooting it.
Yeah, he's actually making stuff that he wished he did back in the day. Like he's even said, he's like, I'm not sure if, you know, some of these fans are going to want this anymore because, you know, I'm remaking the game. I'm rebuilding the game on how I think it would be today. Like there's going to be stuff that's not going to be in the game. There's going to be brand new stuff. Like it's not going to just be a, you know, updated, you know, 4K version of what we saw back in 1997. I'm remaking this game, and there's going to be probably a lot of people that may not like what the final product is. And if that's the case, I may like it, because that means that he just didn't, you know, remake and say, okay, here's just, you know, a crappy 4K remake just to make you guys happy. It seems like, and
he's
especially
making
with Nomura,
his true version of the game.
Exactly. Yeah. And with Nomura, I kind of like him as like with Hideo Kojima, when he goes and does something, he does it the way that he wants. He doesn't bend to, you know, the fans, you know, needs and requests and stuff like that. He does his vision, and that's what I respect about him and Hideo Kojima. Even though it takes fucking forever, excuse my language, for these games to come out, at least, you know, he's not just rushing it just to make people happy. And I think that's why I'm okay a little bit with Final Fantasy VII Remake being released taking so long, as long as, you know, he does what he wants to do and not just to make us happy.
Yeah, yeah, and Hideo Kojima is a perfect example of, I'm not listening to you, I'm making what I want to make, because everybody keeps going, new Metal Gear Solid, he's like, oh, Delivery Boy Simulator featuring Norman Reedus, you got it, fans.
Yeah. You know, I guess speaking on that, because I hear a lot of people talk about it too, if they're going to make a remake of any form of Metal Gear, or if they're going to do like a collection, like how they did with the PS3 or the PS4.
I mean,
it could happen.
The problem is Konami doesn't care about Metal Gear Solid anymore.
Yeah, like if they release it, they release it, but it's not going to be a thing.
There's not going to be any care put into it. It's going to be a copy paste, throw it on the new console to get people to stop messaging them while they make new pachinko machines.
Yeah, exactly.
The whole story is with Metal Gear 4 and stuff like that was that, you know, Kojima didn't want to do them, but Konami made him do it. He didn't really want to continue making them after, like, you know, after 3, he didn't want to make 4. He didn't want to make 5. And you could tell with 5 that there was a little bit, you know, stuff behind the scenes, you know, that definitely affected the final product. And you could tell that he just, you know, he tried his best, but didn't try his best. And a lot of it was just Konami. Like, just look at how Metal Gear 5, as great as a game as it is, just look at that as a prime example on how Konami treats the Metal Gear Solid series. And if they do, and look at Metal Gear Solid Survive, that's another example. You know, just look how they're treating it. And if they do any type of remaster or anything else like that, I just don't think it's just going to end well.
Yeah. We'll see, because there, as we kind of discussed, there are good remasters, remakes, and reboots, but most of the time, there's no real reason for them, sadly.
Yeah.
So, but that is all the time that we have today on The Breakfast Table, but as always, you can catch a backlog of our episodes on Google Play, on iTunes, and we will see you next time.